Thank you, Chris, for leading our singing today. To all of you that were part of our service as we were serving our audience, we thank you for you being here to be able to make that a possibility. We always pray that what we do is in honor of the Lord's name and that what we do glorifies Him. We're not up here for personal reasons to harp on ourselves, but rather to serve the Lord and to tell the saving message of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Chris, even though you said it, I'm going to say it anyway. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole congregation said together, amen. Because that's what the Scripture tells us, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Name of Jesus, what a great, matchless name. Travis, I love what you were saying about worthy is the Lamb from the book of Revelation. It's a book that maybe you, if you're one of those that shy away from it because you're afraid of it because of all the things that other people may say and you feel like you're lost and all of that, don't be that way. Read it. It's a great book of encouragement I know that you'll be better for it if you just open its pages and look at its words, and you'll be blessed immeasurably by the Word of God, as always. Well, you know, sometimes we preachers, we kind of hop here and there and all over, but I want you to know that when I'm preaching to you, I do try to come at you with some things that sort of build on one another, or at least help us in our thought. Last week, remember, we were talking from the book of Matthew about Jesus calling the scribes and the Pharisees whited sepulchers, or whitewashed tombs, the newer versions say. And I hope we went away thinking about not being a whitewashed Christian, because we just want to look good on the outside, you know, with our habits and what we do, as opposed to really living what Jesus has said on the inside. And that's the purpose behind that. Well, I want to say some things to you today. You know, Jesus used many ways to describe His relationship to us, to the body of Christ, the church. We know that that means ekklesia. Everybody knows that Greek word, right? The assembly, or the called out assembly. People called out of darkness of sin and into the brightness and the light of the Savior Jesus Christ. He had a lot of ways of trying to, or telling us how to recognize what the church is and what it should be. And so talking to you about developing our inward person and being a spiritual person, in that vein, I want to talk to you about some things in regard to that. So I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ and His bride. Now, a lot of times over the years, I've done several wedding ceremonies, and I will use this passage in my service because of its great description about what a husband and wife are supposed to be, but it's blended together with who Jesus is and we are, the church. So, after saying some things of encouragement, telling us about singing psalms and hymns and so forth, the spiritual songs, and making melody in our hearts, and then always giving thanks to the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ, even our Father, he says in Ephesians chapter 5 and at verse 21, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We begin with that. I think the King James uses the word submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. But we start out with a relationship with each other, that we are in that relationship because of our love of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's your relationship with your husband. And you want to recognize your husband as you would the Lord, as the Lord in your life. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. And we all said amen to that, right? He's the Savior of the body. That's us. And he himself being that Savior. But as the church is subject to Christ, then so let the wives, they ought to be in submission to their husbands. I'd be remiss if I didn't include this, guys, because the very next verse says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water and with a word, and that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. That's us. That's who we are. But it's not the only way that Jesus describes that relationship. Now, I'm going to just mention these, because if I spend any time at all, I'll be preaching on all these other things I want to mention to you or to make you aware of. Not only is this relationship of the idea of the groom and the bride presented over in the book of Ephesians, you know as well as I do that we also have, especially if you're reading, I'll say, John chapter 10, this concept of Jesus being the shepherd and the church, us, being the sheep. And so the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is something we can learn from, because it tells us about our relationship with who Jesus is. Or later in John chapter 15, you don't have to turn to all these places. I'm just going to say something briefly about them. He says that we are like a vine and that we are the branches on the vine. Jesus, of course, being represented in the root, that is the vine, and the branches being us. And so, we are dependent upon that concept. Then there's this idea several places, so many different passages, where Jesus is called the king in his kingdom. We are the subjects of the kingdom. The territory is what we talked about last week. That is, are we all watching? Our hearts. And not this one. We all have a heart that pumps in the body, but This is our hearts that he's talking about when he says that. So we have kingdoms, we have a king, and we are in the kingdom. And as is illustrated here in this book of Ephesians, we also know that Jesus is the head of the body or the church, as we would read about it, and that's part of our relationship to Jesus. Now let me just point out these points for you today. I know we don't have a PowerPoint, and by the way, we had a part go bad on our projector. We ordered it. It was going to be there the very next day. And you all know how that goes, right? It wasn't there the next day, and it wasn't there the next day, and it wasn't there the next day. And, well, we're hoping that by next week we will have it, but you know how that goes. Anyway, one of the things I want you to take away from today is that Jesus is teaching us about mutual dependence. That is, that I depend upon you. You depend upon me. We have depended upon the Lord. And believe it or not, the Lord depends on us. All of these things are all part of the relationship of us, the church, and Jesus, our Lord, or the groom and their bride, or the king in the kingdom, vine and branches, all of these things that he uses. You see, sheep depend upon a shepherd. Branches depend upon the vine, etc., etc. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and at verse 7, he says, what soldier ever served at his own charges? Who plants a vineyard and doesn't eat of the fruit? How many of you got a garden? Nobody has a garden? Come on. It's not against social distancing to raise your hand, okay? You got a garden? God, does all of that stuff you pick make it back to the house? I'll be honest, he's giving me one of these. Yeah? I know some folks that raise a lot of chickens. Yeah. Janet Thompson told me once she found out where those eggs came from, she wasn't eating anymore. Now, that's the gospel. Yeah, that's what she told me. She said, I'm done eating those eggs. I seen where they came from. Well, we have an interdependency with one another. Who doesn't eat of the fruit thereof in the garden, says Paul, and who feeds a flock and doesn't drink the milk? Well, the answer to that is no one. Jesus is trying to teach us about our relationship to him, number one, okay? I don't want you to get the wrong impression that I'm just talking about you and me and all of that. It's our relationship to him that he's talking about, number one. But in that relationship, he's teaching us the idea of being unified together. Jesus would say in John chapter 10 and over in verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock, and I will be the one shepherd. Now, he's already told this great story about him being the door into the sheepfold, and that when the sheep are called out of that pen, that they know their shepherd's voice, so they could actually come just to him, just their sheep. He's talking to you and to me about our relationship with him. I know you know this passage. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, brethren, are you listening to that? Yea, though through the valley of the shadow of death, when we're afraid about our lives. Man, if that doesn't apply to what we're looking at today in our world today, I don't know what does. Give me an amen out there for those of you that are live streaming. It's not you. Okay. Now, you all can give me an amen if you want to. But that, the Lord is with us. Am I right about that? Do you feel that? Do you understand that it's the presence of the Lord in us that gives us the strength to carry on as His people? I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest for me a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I mean, that's right where we are, isn't it? We're still even prospering in the midst of all the things that many folks are thinking, it just ain't getting there. Or we're just not going to make it. The Lord is taking care of us. He's taking care of you, isn't He? Because that's who our Lord is. That's what He does for us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So He's talking about us being dependent upon each other. But He's sharing with us this intense unity between Him and the church, between Him and His Father, between us and Him when we dedicate our lives to Him. Paul, when he's writing again, you know, the church at Corinth, I went to the Corinthian letter because there are so many things that they were struggling with in Corinth. And there are so many passages there that speak toward the idea of us sticking together. I'm saying that because those of you that are out there on the video screen and seeing what's going on, we hope that you will feel some connection to us here just because you're getting to see us. But we long for and we look forward to when you can literally be back among us like we were used to do being together. That's what we want to be, because that's part of our relationship with one another, to be encouraged by each other, to be exhorted and lifted up. He tells us, when we are joined to the Lord, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We're in this together is what I'm trying to say to you. Our spiritual life ends when we are separated from Christ. Just because we're separated from each other in person, maybe, I'm trying to say to you, we don't want you to feel that way. So don't be embarrassed to pick up the phone and talk to one another or call the folks who are not able to get out and to be with us. Hello? Out there? Are you hearing what I'm trying to get across to us? That during this peculiar time that we can still overcome. Why? Because God is with us no matter where it is. You know, when Nero decided that he was going to end the Apostle Paul's life, I don't want to sound too gross to you, but he separated his head from his body. That became the part of capital punishment in those days because that was the way to be certain that the person could no longer live. And I'm just trying to encourage us that even though we don't have things the way they once were, maybe we won't ever have them exactly the way they once were, but whatever that is, that as long as we remain connected to our head, which is Jesus Christ, and each other, that we will succeed. Our spiritual life, you see, is going to end when we are separated from our head, Jesus, who is the Christ. And then there's this inner unity kind of relationship. And I'll just say this to you just in passing. You know, all the sheep have an equal relationship with a shepherd. There is no hierarchy. You know, the shepherd doesn't have two or three assistants or runners or pasture seekers or whatever. In the true sense of the word of what a shepherd with a flock of sheep is about, it's just him and his sheep. That's kind of like our families, isn't it? I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. And don't we often call ourselves in the church, and rightly so, that we are his family? He is our father. He is our brother. He is the one who cares about us and helps us. Paul, when he's writing, he's talking about the spiritual frame of mind in chapter 3 of the book of Galatians, and he says, there can be neither Jew nor Greek, there can be neither bond nor free, and there can be no male and female, for we are all one person or one creation, one mankind in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. And yet Jesus teaches us that just one missing sheep is important enough for the shepherd to leave the flock and to go in search of the one lost one. Hello? I know that you know other people who cannot come to our service just because of our situation. Call them. Make contact with them. Let them know that, you know, we haven't kicked them out of the family. They're still in. Most of you know this past week I celebrated a birthday. Now these are the exact words of my oldest son. Said, Dad, you made it to 75. I never thought you'd get there. I said, well, thanks, son. I appreciate your great confidence in me to keep going. I didn't mean it that way, Dad. He said, well, okay. How did you mean it? He said, let's drop this. I said, okay. Just so we let everybody know that we do care about them and that we still love them, that they're still part of the family. They're part of us. And without them, we feel incomplete. I don't want you to be thinking about Christ. I guess what I'm saying is I'm trying to say to you that the church, the body of Christ, is as important, was so important to Jesus that he died for it. It ought to be that important to us. And that when people can't be with us, that we encourage them, that we contact them. That I think we would call that just body life. Being together in the body, checking on one another, looking to each other to see what their problems may have been. When Paul's writing in the book of Romans, he tells us in chapter 12, for even as we have many members in one body, we all recognize what that means, chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, and all of the members have not the same office, we all recognize that while we're on earth, there's male and female, right? And not all the other stuff that gets included. It's male and female. We have presidents, we have vice presidents, we have senators. We have all kinds of different things. Everybody doesn't have the same function. But we're all part of the one body in Jesus. That's what Paul is saying to us. Even though we're one body and all members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in Christ and severally members of one another. So therefore we prefer one another. We honor one another. We take care of our brothers and our sisters. Right, Jim? We want them to know that they're still part of us. And that's what I'm really trying to say or get across to us today. Another really interesting relationship that's mentioned in the scripture is this idea of us being living stones. Peter mentions this over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. It's a great reading. But he's telling us that Jesus is the rock and we're the pebbles. I don't know how to make that one work, Bobby, except just some of us are, you know, my dad used to say, that guy's dumber than a sack of rocks, yeah. That's the only thing I don't want to try to say that today. But all of these are relationships so that we may better understand the concept of Jesus. When I was over in India several years ago, I visited, along with several others, a leper colony. In fact, we did that a couple of different times. We took them some of their needs. But I learned a few things about leprosy, since you probably have not seen it here in America. Leprosy is a disease that first affects the nervous system. And when the nervous system becomes destroyed, you begin to lose feeling and no longer have it, the flesh starts eroding, and yet it's without feeling. In other words, it's decaying actually on your arm if it starts in the fingers or the toes or wherever. And someone had to tell me this gross story just before we went. They said, you know, the rats come at night and eat off the dead portions from the lepers while they're asleep. They don't know it most of the time, unless that rat gets a hold of a live piece. Those pieces are dead, and yet they eat them off. We don't know how fortunate we are in America and what we've had for so long. So even that we have many members in one body, we are all people who do not have necessarily the same office. I just want to encourage you with that whole concept, to discern the body, to discern what the church is all about. You can go to the next slide there, Wayne, if you want to. Unity, you see, is the prerequisite of what God wants in regard to communion. You know, one of the problems over there in Corinth was that when they came together, Jim, you might remember that when Paul's writing, he says, I can't praise you because y'all came together not for the better, but for the worse. What did he mean by that? Well, he meant that they were not preferring one another. That's the last thing we want to be guilty of, brethren. We want to make sure we know that people love us and that we love them. We want to be a part of their lives. That's an important thing for you and for me as we try to remember in these days the importance of the church in the life of people. We want everybody to feel loved and to know that we love them. And we do that through these great relationships that are found in the New Testament about Jesus and how he loves the church. I hope you'll love the church like Jesus loved the church. Are we perfect? Are we perfect? Yes, we are. We're in Jesus Christ. That was a trick question for you. No, we're not perfect. As humans, we make mistakes. But in Jesus, we are made perfect. And so he overlooks our weaknesses. So when you get down on yourself, don't do that. Jesus doesn't like that. He wants you to recognize that he's taken care of all those things. Quit worrying about yourself and think about others. And help them to feel like and to know that you care for them. That's what Jesus would do. Am I right there? That's what Jesus would do. Take care of them. I love you. God bless you for being here today. I hope you'll go home encouraged. Maybe you'll pick up the phone today. I'm an old person, so you see, I'm dialing the old phone. Don't laugh at me, Diane. I know that doesn't happen. I mean, all we got to do is just punch one button because we got them on speed dial, and we can call them. But call them up saying, don't know if you caught the live stream or not, but we love you. We care about you. We're still praying for you. Let us know what your needs are. Help them out. Encourage them. If you're here today, you're not a member of the body of Christ, we would love to have the opportunity to sit down with you and encourage you in teaching from the Word of God about what God, Jesus, wants us to do in order to be a member of His body. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless and keep you.